Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Big day today on the Steve Jones Show here at SJS. It's great to have you with us on this Friday. And today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is a big, big weekend coming up. Big weekend indeed. We have a lot going on tonight locally. We also have the NFL playoffs, two games tomorrow. The NFL playoffs, two games on Sunday. College basketball, including Penn State at Purdue, Sunday at noon. So you need to make a stop right now. As soon as this show is over, right? In fact, here's an idea. Get in the car, put the show on, listen to the show as you drive over to Reagan Street. That's where Brewers Outlet is. You're talking about snacks, beverages, pickle bar, you name it, they have it. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and also the Hilscher's General Store hotline is open. 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealand Grove. The Mucks are in. They're in. It's time to go there, and they have so much more at Hilscher's General Store. Big show today. We'll talk with Guy Cipriano of the Center Daily Times. Talk about what's going on with Penn State football, the changes that have been made. Ted Roof leaving for Georgia Tech. John Butler now, the defensive coordinator, which also means Bill O'Brien is a spot to fill. And later in the show, Greg Cosell from NFL Films to break down the playoff weekend. I don't think anybody watches more tape on the NFL than Greg Cosell, except maybe Mike Mayock and Ron Jaworski. I think that's about it. That really breaks it down, and Greg will do that for us and give us a complete read on all four NFL playoff games taking place this weekend, including the Broncos taking on the Ravens, the Patriots taking on the Houston Texans, and, of course, the NFC, the Packers and 49ers, Falcons and Seahawks. A lot to talk about today with Greg Cosell of NFL Films. But before we get to any of that, it is time for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today on the show, we're going to have Greg Cosell of NFL Films. Now, it's going to be an awfully rough segment for Kevin.
Why will it be a rough segment for me?
Because we're going to be talking about the actual playing of the game of football.
And that's rough for me how?
It doesn't deal with the stuff that you love.
Ugh.
Such as coaching movement, player movement, people being cut, lives destroyed, families being uprooted and having to move, things like that. Those are the things that you love.
You know what? I'm sorry. Lives destroyed? Come on. That's part of the game. When you get involved in it, you know that's part of the game.
Part of the game.
It's part of your career then. How's that?
Did you see the email I got?
I did.
From Mark?
I did.
I am the scourge of the earth to this dude.
Yeah.
Because I advocated Pete Rose going into the Hall of Fame after 24 years.
The steroid issue, that's the...
That's correct. I mean, he's in twice as a coach and as a player. All right? You look at Casey Stengel. Casey Stengel played. He's not in the Hall of Fame as a player. He's in as a manager.
That's also, yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's true.
Yeah, he played with the New York Giants. All right. I mean, certain guys are in for what they did as a manager. Others are in. You know, if you want to put on the plaque, hey, look, he was banned permanently from baseball. He's banned from baseball, and he should be banned from baseball. He should be banned permanently from baseball in any front office position, any front office position, all right? He should be banned. But the Baseball Hall of Fame is not a management position. And if you want to put on the plaque, he was banned from baseball permanently in 1989 so that every kid that sees it knows it and why, then do it. But when you get 4,292 career hits, more than anybody else, I mean, look, I'm not a Pete Rose fan at all. I didn't like him when he played. He didn't light me up in terms of his personality. None of this. This is not a guy going, I'm a Pete Rose guy. I'm 180 from that. I was never a Pete Rose fan. Never. I mean, not one thing did I ever sit back and go, wow. You know, when he broke Cobb's record, I went, okay, fine.
You were not a Pete Rose?
No.
How can you not be?
No.
I don't understand that.
Why?
Yeah.
You're not pain in the neck.
But I'm just, from the way he played, though.
He's not my pain in the neck. If I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, I'm loving him he's my pain in the neck.
I got you. All right, I'll agree with that.
All right?
I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, the guy played second base, left field, right field, third base, first base in his career. He played five different positions when they needed him to. And he had 4,292 hits. Right? Now, what he did after he was done playing is despicable. And it's what's all wrong with the game. But he would be elected as a player and not as a manager. Mark didn't like that.
Well, actually, that came from a listener that sent it to Mark in the newsroom.
Oh, so sent it to Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, the listener said that. Look, the listener wants to call. I completely understand where the listener's coming from, okay? I am not disparaging the listener in any way. Because I think the listener makes some great points about how upset they are, okay? But Paul Hornung, for example, did the exact same thing as a player. You don't ever hear anybody, his name never comes up. Well, he shouldn't be in. But he is in. Different sport, different set of electors, but he's in.
Our email also had mentioned that neither you and I talked about the youth that look up to these type of players.
Oh, they don't look up to these guys anymore.
You know, at one point I would say that there was. I mean, when I was growing up, yes.
I don't see that.
Now I don't see it anymore because of the fact that more come out about the players now than had before. We only saw, I mean, growing up, I only saw, I'll give you an example, Mike Schmidt. And yes, I idolized Mike Schmidt. He was the reason I became a Phillies fan.
Sure.
Because I was a third baseman in Little League. I idolized Mike Schmidt because of the way he hit the ball, the way he played. You know, I never saw him in any other form other than that. Today,
he's the greatest third baseman in the history of the game, in my opinion. If you had to pick one, I'd pick him.
But today, it's a totally different. I mean, his personality may be miserable. I mean, I may not like him if I ever met him. You know, I never saw him in that way.
He speaks highly.
He speaks highly of me. Good. But my point is, now we see players in a different light than we did at that point. And I don't know. I think there's still players that want to emulate, or still youth that want to emulate certain players, but only for what they do, not for who they are.
Right. You put them in for their accomplishments, and I understand the cheating part. Again, Roger Clemens, I can advocate Roger Clemens. He went to trial. Now, you may not have agreed with the verdict, but guess what? He went on trial for it, and he was found not guilty. Now, you may not agree with the verdict, but he was found not guilty. When they presented, when they had their shot to present all the evidence, he was not guilty. But we're all assuming he's guilty? I mean, the state gave it its shot. They didn't win. Now, does he have an awesome, incredible, and clever attorney? I mean, look, I follow what was going on. You kind of sat back when it was over with and went, I don't blame the jury for voting not guilty. I'd have sat back and went, okay, why did this case come here? Now, am I saying he never did anything? I don't know, but he was found not guilty. You have to go in the face of that. Aren't we a country that's innocent until proven guilty? I mean, I realize in the TMZ world, no, you're guilty first, and it's sensational. Mike Piazza should be in the Hall of Fame, okay? There have been suspicions. Okay, prove it.
Well, of the list that just came out, Steve, there's a lot of controversial players on that list. How many of them have admitted to or have been proven to have taken steroids or cheated?
Well, Bonds did.
Okay.
Right? I mean, he said he took the cream and didn't know it was the cream and blah, blah, blah. McGuire.
Okay.
It's been proven Palmeiro did.
Right.
All right. And you're talking about 3,000 hits, 500 home runs. See, there's a point where you have to discard. Did they play the entire time like that?
Well, and that's one way. That's one point.
I mean, would I vote for Alex Rodriguez? No, I'd wait for 5 years. Then I'd vote for Alex Rodriguez. In other words, that would be my penalty. My penalty would be like, look, I'm going to make you wait. Then I'll vote you. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, do I like Alex Rodriguez? I don't like Alex Rodriguez in any way, shape, or form. Okay?
Now, here's the
When Jason Veritek took the glove and shoved it in his face, I was the first guy that jumped up and said, right on, way to go.
Well, here's the other question to ask now. All right, when they allegedly did this, or when they have admitted to doing this, was it illegal at that point?
Well, when he did it, was it?
Exactly. That's right. So, in my mind, to say that they cheated, that's a fair judgment.
Right. I agree with that.
However, up until that point, I still say, especially in the Bond situation, those numbers were good enough to get into the Hall, especially at that point. Look at him as a base stealer, if nothing else. But I do also understand.
Oh, look at his pirates. His pirate years would tell you he should be in the Hall of Fame.
And I agree, but I understand those that say, "Listen, once he started doing the steroids, that's it. You're right. Done."
Okay.
I get that.
I mean, am I a Barry Bonds fan? No. Never was. Never liked him. Okay, I was hoping Hank Aaron still had the record, okay? I've met Hank Aaron. I like Hank Aaron. He's good. I mean, I'm saying though, but Hank Aaron's only a great, great hitter. Hank Aaron's a great guy to deal with. I like Hank Aaron personally. Okay? No. Met Willie Mays. Willie Mays is not Hank Aaron personality wise. He had 660 home runs. All right. The other part, too, is that fans have to remember is this. What do you know about the people that are already elected?
Yeah, we kind of touched on that the other day.
You don't know. We didn't have ESPN 24-hour cycles, people trying to make their reputations off someone else's misery. I mean, that's what part of the media has become, making their reputations off somebody else's misery. Hey, all right, good. I got a juicy one. Great. I'm going to get an award. Good for you. Good for you, sport. Okay? We didn't have that. So we don't know. I'm not going to give you a list of names because it's unfair. But we don't know really a lot about the people that were elected in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I mean, look, Ty Cobb spiked people left and right. That's illegal on the field. The listener, I completely understand.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us today. Show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. It's the weekend. Time to go. Like, listen to the show as you go to Brewers Outlet. And we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. And if you happen to think I'm the scourge of the earth, as that one listener indicated, you can give me a call and tell me face-to-face. On the Hilshire's General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Brought to you by Hilshire's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. The mucks are in. Indeed, they are. All right, we now bring in from the Center Daily Times, Guy Cipriano. Guy, welcome. Great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, how you doing, Steve? Good. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you back on board. How do you look at the last 10 days? Certainly, it's been interesting.
I guess it's part of football. I guess it's part of the business of college football. And, you know, let's not kid ourselves, Steve. It's a business. There's a lot of money involved. There's very driven, motivated human beings involved. There's career aspirations involved. There's decisions that have short and long-term impacts involved. And, you know, it's the business of the game. You have a guy in Bill O'Brien who obviously his dream is to coach in the NFL. I think that's the one thing that's become clear over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, he took some significant steps towards chasing that dream, even if he had no intention of going to the NFL this year. You know, it's a long-term process for him, and whatever teams he interviewed with, that can only help him when his chance at his dream comes up again. I mean, you can't fault anyone through going through the interview process and seeing what's out there and, you know, taking steps to maybe chasing something you've always wanted for your entire life. And then, you know, I think Ted Roof is the ideal example of the business of football. The guys, I think now this is his sixth job since 2007, if I'm not mistaken, Steve. I mean, and that's, I hate to say it, but that's almost normal in that industry. You know, you look at it and you say that, wow, the guy's had six jobs since 2007. That's really odd. But then you look at the resumes of a lot of coaches at the Division I level and at the NFL level, and you'll find that these guys bounce around almost more than anybody in any field. And, you know, I think here in State College, people have been immune to this side of football because of the stability under Joe Paterno and the fact that, you know, a lot of his assistants you could just bank on coming back year after year after year, and you could bank on the head coach coming back. And really, there was never a ton of turnover there. I mean, I think people were shocked a few years ago when Brian Norwood went to Baylor to take the defensive coordinator job, and really that's a huge step up, going from secondary coach to defensive coordinator. And I think now we're just going to see a lot more movement with Penn State coaches. I don't think you're going to ever see the stability that this program had. And I don't think you'll ever see any program have the stability that Penn State had. And really, it's just a new side of football that people around here are going to have to get used to.
And, in fact, if you look at the resumes of the current coaching staff, you'll see that they're long and they're extensive. I mean, and I say that with all due respect. I mean, you just have to go to a media guide and just look at it and see where they've been before. I mean, that's it. It's the way it is.
Yeah, and in coaching, really you're lucky if you stay at a job for 3 or 4 years. I mean, you consider yourself fortunate. I'm sure these coaches' wives are want their husbands to stay somewhere for an extended period of time. If they stay somewhere for 3 or 4 years to get a son or daughter through high school or middle school or something, they view that as an accomplishment and as a sigh of relief. And, yeah, you know, that's a great thing to do is you just go in there and take the resume of every coach on the Penn State staff and try to figure out the average time they spent at each job, and my guess would be that it's well under 4 years. I haven't done the math on this, but this is just from eyeballing resumes, and you know, you see very few Ron Vanderlindens and Larry Johnsons who have been at one place for more than a decade and have really established roots in the community. So you're absolutely right. You know, these guys bounce around, and the Penn State staff isn't any different than any staff in the Big Ten right now, or in all of college football, at least Division One football for that matter. Now, when you go down to the Division Two and Three levels, Steve, and I've been fortunate enough to cover those levels at a previous job, you'll see maybe more stability in the coaching staff. Those guys are excellent coaches. They don't get the credit they deserve a lot of the time just because they're at the Division Two or Three levels, but those guys will set foot in communities like Bloomsburg or Williamsport or something and just stay there for a long time and really develop a nice thing. But when you're talking Division One football, you're talking one of the most transient professions in the country.
Yeah, I mean, no question about that, and you see that. You were a part of John Butler's teleconference that took place yesterday, the new defensive coordinator moving from secondary coach to defensive coordinator. What was your read?
The guy certainly doesn't keep a lot of things hidden. He puts it all out there. He has no problem putting it all out there. I think you could tell that by his coaching style. He's a very boisterous coach if you've ever seen him in practice and if you watch him during the games. He's very animated and excited and active and certainly brings a lot of energy and passion. And, you know, he said, you know, yeah, he's going to be in a more high-profile role as Penn State's defensive coordinator, but he said he's not going to change his ways. He's not going to change who he is because there are going to be more eyeballs on him. And, you know, that's good. You don't want people changing their personalities because of a job. You want people being who they are. And I think the people that are genuine and act the same way most of the time are the people that relate to athletes the best, Steve. And, you know, it's a huge career step for him. I mean, the responsibilities are immense. He's never been a Division One defensive coordinator, and now he's going to be a defensive coordinator at a school in a BCS conference. There's going to be a lot of pressure and scrutiny on what he does. And, you know, he said that his previous jobs have prepared him for this, and I guess we'll see, you know. We'll see how John Butler handles the job as defensive coordinator at Penn State. I mean, he's never had a job like this. He's worked with a lot of people that have had jobs like this. And really, I mean, the thing that he's fortunate to have is to still have Ron Vanderlinden and Larry Johnson around. I know a lot of people were curious why maybe those two guys weren't considered for the job. We haven't heard from Bill O'Brien since Ted Roof left, so we can only speculate and connect the dots. My take on that is I don't think people realize how important position coaches are in college football. In my mind, Steve, they are just as important as the coordinators. I think a lot of college football is about developing relationships and trust with your players and recruits, and these assistant coaches are in the meeting rooms with the same guys every day. They're out on the practice field with those guys. They have those guys sometimes over to their houses when a player has a problem late at night with school or football or, you know, social stuff. They don't call the coordinator or head coach. They call their position coach, and those two guys are so valuable in their role that I think, to me, it makes absolute sense to keep them in their current roles, and it's only going to make the coaching staff stronger having those guys in the position meetings every day. And, you know, I mean, yeah, like I just said, the coordinator has a lot of responsibility, but when you talk about earning the trust of players and developing players and, you know, really molding players into something that can really impact society, that's where your position coaches are huge, and I would make the argument they're just as important as coordinators in college football.
How much do you think you're helped in terms of game perspective? That most of the defensive coordinators we see are usually on the sidelines. John was on the sideline last year. Just from field perspective, how much do you think that actually helps him in terms of, like, now he's a coordinator, but he's also viewing the game from the same location he has viewed it before?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be no adjustment in that regard. I mean, the only real difference for him is instead of maybe just watching the secondary, he's going to be calling the defense, and there's no adjustment going from the booth to the field or the field to the booth. He's obviously made it clear that he wants to be a hands-on coach. He's not going to be like the guys you see on TV when you watch NFL games with the glasses on their nose looking at 100 computer printouts and trying to scheme something like a mad scientist. He's not that type of guy. He's going to be on the field, and he's going to call the defense from the field. And really, you know, if you get the right personnel and coach them well in the spring and fall, there's really not a ton of adjustments you have to make. And I just don't think it's John Butler's personality to sit in a press box. And I'm not sure if the foundation in the Beaver Stadium press box would be strong enough to handle maybe the kicking and screaming he would do up in the box.
That's right, stuff. Now, the next part of this, I want to go back to Bill O'Brien for 1 second. Hey, he was at last night's Northwestern basketball game. He and Fitzy went together last night. He has put himself very much ingrained in the culture of what's going on around here. And I know that this any flirtation the NFL has with him, okay, you got to remember, they're contacting him. Okay, the flirtation is with him. How interesting you find it that he puts himself out there at Penn State as often as he does.
Yeah, I think he views that as part of the job, and you know, I think he's got an active personality. I don't think he's a sit at home type of person. I'm sure he likes to relax, but you can tell he's kind of high strung and he likes doing things, and he doesn't like sitting in one spot for an extended period of time. I think the guy really truly enjoys athletics. I remember once meeting with him in his office in the fall, and I think we talked more about the Boston Red Sox and their minor league system than we did about actual football. So this is a guy that likes athletics. He grew up reading multiple sports pages every day. I think he made the comment on the Big Ten Network in the fall that if he weren't a football coach, he'd want to be a sports writer. So I think the guy just likes athletics. He likes being around competition. And really, you know, if you're living in State College, there's no NBA or NHL or NFL team to go watch. So what do? You, if you want to go out on a weeknight and watch a sporting event, well, you either go to a high school sporting event or you go to a Penn State game. And I think regardless if he was the head football coach at Penn State or working in maintenance or working as a professor, I think he'd still be going to the basketball games. I think he's just a guy that enjoys that type of stuff. I'm not sure if he's doing it for PR purposes.
No,
it's part of his job. No. I think he's a guy that just enjoys athletics, who happens to have maybe the most prominent job in Center County. In fact, it is the most prominent job.
I mean, you see him in a basketball game, he's all in. He's totally passionate about hoops. I mean, he's totally passionate about Patrick Chambers in terms of the job he can do.
Dude, I heard he's a big hockey fan,
he's
too.
He's a huge
and I'm
hockey
sure when
fan.
That thing gets built up, he'll be at the Pagula Ice Center watching that team when he has the opportunity, too. In fact, I heard his wife's a huge, passionate hockey fan.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I think that's going to happen here at some point. But he does love hockey. In fact, I think, what was it he told me? He has older brothers. They played hockey. The reason he didn't play as often was because they get sick of driving at 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, and that's a really good reason.
Yeah, and you look at it, and, you know, you figure he was a teenager, what, 24, 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. There weren't as many hockey rinks around then. So if you were someone of that generation and you wanted to play hockey, you had to go to these rinks at odd times just to find ice time. It's a little different now. You know, I remember growing up in suburban Pittsburgh, there were maybe 2 or 3 hockey rinks when I was, you know, 10 or 11 years old, and by the time I was 18, there were, you know, 6 or 7, and now you go out there and it seems like there's a hockey rink almost in every township or borough. So it's amazing just some of the sacrifices people used to make to play hockey.
Yeah, no question. Now, your first year on this beat, you've covered various things. You did a great job covering wrestling, great job covering the spikes. You talked about, you know, the Division III work that you've done, 2 and 3 along the way. What was this like for you the past year?
I'm 32 years old, and I feel like I'm about 52 now, Steve.
Welcome to my world.
I mean, seriously, it's unlike anything, and especially when you're in the community where the team actually plays, and you're working at a smaller newspaper. I don't think a lot of people understand we're not the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette or the Tribune Review. We have limited resources. I don't just cover football, Steve. I do a bunch of different things. I still am involved in high school sports. I'm involved in the production of the daily section. So it's a lot of work. It's all consuming. It sometimes makes you yearn for the days of covering the spikes in Division III football. But then again, you're writing about something that people are very passionate about and really care about and are really invested in. It's been an unbelievable 9 months for me personally. Like I said, I feel like I've aged 20 years in this, but I guess it's part of trying to take a career step. And,
sure.
And I've just really enjoyed the passion for it, and it does seem like people appreciate your work, and you get to see some neat places. And I would say maybe my favorite thing about the job is just dealing with the players. I mean, sometimes there's a lot of politics and things that are kept hidden and some behaviors amongst administrators and coaches that just make you scratch your head as a reporter. But I think it's the kids that keep you fresh and make you want to do it day after day. And there's some excellent players on that Penn State football team that have some incredible stories and come from some incredible backgrounds. And to me, that's the most interesting thing. And that's the thing I enjoy doing most is telling those stories to readers and let them know where these guys that they root for every Saturday come from and some of the things maybe they're fighting in their own lives. And I also just enjoy being part of the Big Ten again. I went to Indiana University. For those that don't know, I covered Big Ten football in college, and it was nice to get back out to the Midwest and see a lot of people that I knew from my college days and, you know, see just how the conference has changed in the last decade football-wise. It's certainly a different world now than it was in the early 2000s when I first covered Big Ten football. So, yeah, it's been quite a whirlwind, and I'm sure anyone that's in my business would say the same thing.
Now that you've gone through it for a year, what kind of adjustments are you going to make as to how you cover it next time through?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the key is I just did not have a full off season last year. You know, coming into it right in the middle of spring practice, that's difficult. And also a lot of things happened over the summer that threw the plan off, Steve. I mean, I did not expect a major NCAA announcement in July. I was really going to use that time to work on player profiles that we're going to run in the fall.
I was going to use that time to take a vacation. I never did.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, that threw everybody off. So I'm just looking through going through the process now, maybe without as many off-the-field hiccups, you know, and I say that, and who knows what next week may bring. This is really an incredible story. It's still evolving on so many different levels, but, you know, I really hope to have things scripted and planned better and maybe develop a blog, an interactive web blog on our website with some audio and video and maybe move into that type of thing if time permits. But right now I'm immersed in high school wrestling and some of the other responsibilities I have at the newspaper.
Is that refreshing just to go back and do some high school wrestling for you?
Absolutely. I've covered high school wrestling now for the last decade, ever since I left college. And, you know, a lot of people that I used to see on the high school trail in the fall I didn't see because I was doing Penn State football instead of going to the local high schools. And it's been beyond refreshing to be in high school wrestling. And really, you get to develop a lot of relationships with people in it. It's such a close-knit community, and there's so much passion for it here in Center County. It may be the most important high school sport in the county. Really, you know, high school football is big here, but I would make the argument that maybe there's even more interest in high school wrestling just because of the history of wrestling in this region and the fact that the teams have been so competitive over the years on the state level. But yeah, it's been refreshing. You know, Steve, I don't know if the average listener or reader knows it, but there's so many people that cover Penn State football. It's really difficult sometimes to develop one-on-one and personal relationships with people. It's the exact opposite in high school wrestling. Really, you know, you're the only one that's covering these coaches and teams, and you get to know the parents and the athletes and their grandparents, and you get to follow them when they go to college. So it's absolutely been refreshing. It's just difficult to sometimes balance those duties with Penn State football duties. But, you know, everyone has challenges in their job, and it's just something you have to learn how to face.
No, I think a lot of people find it interesting to find out what everybody does. Guy, it's always appreciate it, Guy, very much. Lost him there for a second. Well, Kevin, coming up is a segment that's not really up your alley.
What segment is that? Is the pick segment?
We're going to be talking about football, but we're actually going to talk about, like, football.
Uh-huh. Like X's and O's football?
Yeah.
Oh, well, forget it. I'm not interested then.
You know, I mean, we're not going to talk about, like, where do you think Brian Kelly's going to end up?
By the way, where do you think Brian Kelly's going to end up?
We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome, Greg Cosell, NFL Films. We're going to break down the entire weekend in the NFL playoffs. It's not the segment that Kevin likes. I mean, here on WTMZ, I mean, KOK. But that's okay.
That's right. I like to talk about football, too.
Well, this is going to be, with Greg Cosell, it's going to be 400-level class.
That's too smart for me.
It's going to be a 400-level class with one of the best. We'll talk with him in a few moments. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarkets, the weekend, big weekend, four NFL playoff games coming up this weekend, plenty of college basketball as well. You need to stock up at the Beverage Supermarket. Pickle bar, incredible. Snacks, incredible. And you name the beverage, they have it at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we can never forget the Hilscher's General Store Hotline. That's 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. The Mucks are in, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Greg Cosell, next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.